This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
They're the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
All right, Tope and I, thank you so much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. The month of February has arrived. We've got a special in-studio guest. You know he's the star of the show because
yes.
He just walked in. Doesn't have to concern himself with the pregame.
There was a lot of traffic on Route 16, so.
That can happen. Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News in studio this morning.
The traffic copter says we're backed up all the way to the Butler Tee right now, and it's looking pretty bad out there. No, I'm just kidding.
The WSMI News Chopper.
That's right, the News Chopper. Well, gone with the mobile studio.
We missed the mobile studio come springtime baseball and softball.
No kidding. Anyway, that's another story for another time. So.
It's going to kind of feel like baseball regional and softball regional this weekend. But as we know, girls regionals actually start on Monday. And it's going to be a lot of fun coming up next week. Kyle, where will you be next week?
I will be watching the Lady Hilltoppers and Lady Panthers of Litchfield. So
will you, Tim.
can we both be there at the same time?
I think, according to the Camp David Accord, it's okay.
Okay, good.
We'll just have to watch her. So we'll be on opposite sides of the gym. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So they should be able to contain us.
I would hope so.
Then you can carpool, you know, save gas.
There you go.
It's always an option.
Or if we had the chopper, you could take the chopper.
Mm-hmm. Now, that would be nice. Just land right on top of the school.
Right there. Yeah.
That regional, of course, an all-South Central regional. And you look at the top two seeds there, potentially could get Litchfield and Hillsborough in the championship. But there are roadblocks for both.
It should be a really good regional. There's a lot of quality, and especially on the girls' side in the South Central Conference this year. You know, Vandalia and Greenville both have a chance to beat anybody on any given day, so as well as Gillespie. So should be a really fun regional, and if you kind of expect the seeds to hold just based on their past performances, and if they do, it should be a really good game.
And of course, for Litchfield, you know, the group of seniors, this is it for them, and you never know for sure how that will go. They've had success in the postseason, and they've had some heartbreak in the postseason as well.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of, you know, I think a lot of pressure has been put on them since junior high with the back-to-back state, junior high state titles, which doesn't always necessarily mean anything, but their talent is obvious. You know, they got a 1,000-point scorer in Riley Scharf. You know, Tess Steffens is around like 700 or 800 points. Allie Smith's right up there. You know, a very good contributor too. And then Tatum Wharton off the bench for them. You know, that senior class has really had a lot of success there, and they've definitely benefited from some contributions from the underclassmen. But they've really, really done a good job, just winning ball games for Litchfield.
Yeah, there is no next year, and I just remember that, like, my senior year, you know, it hits you, you know, as you're on that bus, like, going to that region, like, wait a minute, this is it, like, if we do lose, it's over. You always have that nice safety net, you know, when you're a sophomore or junior. Well, we've always got our senior year.
Sure.
And I've been really impressed with Litchfield, how they've handled that this year, a dominating regular season.
Yeah, they've done really well. I mean, you know, the only two blemishes on their record so far are Southwestern game, which the Piesaw Birds, you know, really shut them down, especially from three-point range, held them like 0-for-10, I think, in the first half from three. And then, you know, the game against Carrollton, who is not a slouch in the least, and I wasn't at that game, but they said, you know, Litchfield didn't have their best game, but, you know, a loss to Carrollton, especially a close loss to Carrollton, is not a bad loss.
No.
A 2-point loss is all it was. So, in a championship game at the North Green Regional or at the North Green Tournament, so,
and Calhoun's probably going to have their hands full with Carrollton Thursday night.
Oh yeah,
and that should be a good ball game too. Yeah. I mean, Calhoun's been salty this year too. So.
Well, of course, you know, last year their coach said we're going to state. And then they lost on their home floor in the regional to Carrollton.
It's not always a good idea to make those broad general statements.
It's almost like the exact opposite of going to state would be losing in the regional on your home floor. Exact opposite.
It's kind of like the basketball gods saying, oh, you think?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yes.
And, of course, for Litchfield, all the talk of the great senior class, rightfully so, but Abby Brockmeyer, the young sophomore, goodness gracious, she's really transformed herself into a point guard.
Yeah, and she can play a lot of positions on the field or on the court, and just a good overall athlete. And whenever she, there was a couple times in the Litchfield Hillsborough game last Saturday that, you know, she just rocked back and did that little spin move down in the baseline and was almost unguardable. But her versatility and being able to bring the ball down the floor, I think, you know, I know Rob said a couple times about her being one of the best three-point shooters, and I think that'll continue to develop for us too. So she's a unique talent, but I think she's also learned a lot from the upperclassmen, mm-hmm. you know, the seniors on Riley and Tessa and Allie. You know, I think that's really helped her progression, and she'll need some of that progression next year whenever those guys aren't around.
And how could you not absorb
yeah.
Just some knowledge and basketball, you know, stuff from those kids?
She's yeah. also one of those kids who's played against her brother for years, so she's had exactly. that as a benefit as well.
That always helps.
Yeah.
It always helps, yeah.
I threw out on Twitter earlier this year, you know, who would win in a mythical two-on-two sibling tournament
yeah.
Between Nick and Abby Brockmeyer, Mason and Tessa Steffens, Cooper and Riley Scharf, and Dylan and Maddie Miller. So
yeah, yeah. It'd be a pretty good tournament.
I see brackets.
Yeah.
I'm thinking brackets here, folks.
Yeah. Gus Macker, Hoop It Up has nothing on that.
I'd say, I think that, you know, I think we could probably pay, you know, like I said, you know, that's a pretty good crew there for
we got the bookies in the back. Start putting money down.
I was joking with Dylan and Maddie's dad, Jason, that unfortunately Maddie might foul out in the first first few minutes. But like I said, that, you know, all eight of those kids are, you know, have been good players over the years, and some of them still are and still developing. So it's a good time.
You know, Maddie's got potential to be a special talent. She's really developed her game as the season's progressed.
Yeah, she's going to be a good one and a nice piece for them. You know, and if she continues to build up this year, next year will be even more special because the focus is going to be on Carly Cameron down yeah. low. And she'll be able to kind of step in and help with that.
I think Hillsborough's kind of the scary team of that regional. I'm mm-hmm. going to be honest with you right mm-hmm. now. I think Hillsborough's playing pretty well. They're a team that, you know, they're not afraid. They, you know, look at the schedule they play. Litchfield, Hillsborough in a rematch. Wow.
Well, especially
you think the decibel level yeah. will be loud that night?
You think about it a year ago, you know, Hillsborough knocked off Litchfield. I think in the semifinals that year, the way
yeah.
the seedings worked yeah. out. But mm-hmm. Hillsborough this time of year, you're exactly right.
Oh, man.
Always dangerous.
Well, yeah. especially the way that game last Saturday ended, just going down to the wire, just a bucket with 5 seconds left. I mean, that's all the more motivation.
And I think it's safe to say that if you're Litchfield, you would just assume see anybody other than Hillsborough. You don't you don't want to see Hillsborough again this year if you're Litchfield. I would not imagine.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. But the, you know, it's kind of like a, it may be a Nokomis thing with Teakin, you know, because, I mean, Nokomis teams have always had kind of that attitude, well, we really don't care who we play. Mm-hmm. We'll just go out and do our thing, you know, and Hillsborough comes out and does their thing. And J.C. Holloman's been just off the charts with, you know, this especially the last yeah. few weeks. I mean, I didn't count up how many threes she hit against Nokomis, but, I mean, it seemed like every time the Redskins would pull a couple points or pull within 4 or 5 points, she'd hit and knock down a three. Or either her or Carrie Ann Cooper.
She came within 3 inches of hitting the ceiling on one of them. I swear. I
brought
swear.
Some rain.
I tell you, it was bringing rain. Mm. And, you know, and JC's dealt with a lot of injury problems over yeah. the years. What a talented young lady. But never has been able to reach her full potential because of injury problems. But now she's healthy. And now look at the show she can put on.
Yeah, and she reminds me a lot of Katie DeLuca. Too, you know, just has the ability to be
spark plug.
Exactly, you know, come on and just light it up, and then also to defensively, you know, that team defensively is just mm-hmm. standout. I mean, they've held mm-hmm. some really good teams to not a lot of points. So.
You got J.C. Holloman, that's a spark plug. Lindsay Storm,
yeah,
don't underestimate her. She's a spark plug too.
Yeah,
she can fire up a team really quick. The way she plays.
Yeah, I think she's got like Mountain Dew Kickstarter running through her veins.
Well, her grandfather was
original
a former
Mountain Dew
state
or one of those off flavors now.
Definitely one of the Kickstarters. Yeah.
Well, her grandfather was a former state trooper, so that probably got something to do with
there
it.
There you go. So,
but I think Kyle, you're right. The Nokomis effect of Teek and the ability, like Kimbrough's done for I don't know 30 years in a row, to get your team to play their best ball this time of the year. Every coach tries to do it, but only a handful of them seem to pull it off year after year.
Well, and you know, I give a lot of credit to Brett, and they have one of the, I mean, I can't imagine having a better coaching staff right now than the Hillsboro girls. And that's no offense to any other team out there.
They got two varsity coaches.
They have two varsity coaches, and then they have Paige Cullison also, who's, you know, a former standout for them, a college basketball player, you know. You know, she was the same type of player as JC and Katie DeLuca were during her days at Hillsboro. You know, so I mean, just to have that experience off the bench and then with, you know, Bob and Brett, you know, that it's just it's a really good situation for them right now.
Perhaps Paige will scrimmage with them a time or two.
I don't know.
I told Paige, I said,
don't get in front of her. That's all I'll tell you. Don't get in front of her.
I think I told Bob Allen one game. I said, you know, I found the clause. Paige has got one game left. I said, so if you need her, she could suit up one more time.
Oh, a game of eligibility, yeah, not a year. She's got a game.
She's got a couple games left of eligibility.
Just pick it wisely.
That's pick right. it wisely.
Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News joining us in studio this morning on Sports Saturday. We've got Fighting Illini basketball coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. Illinois taking on Sparty today live at 10 here on FM 106. We need a break. We're back with more Sports Saturday in a moment.
And at 9:19, let's head back down to more Sports Saturday for you. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Tobin, I thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, we'll have, of course, wall-to-wall regional basketball coverage for you next week on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. The Illini coming up 10 o'clock this morning. And, of course, Terry, there's always multiple things going on at the IHSA.
That's right, and that includes wrestling regionals get underway today, and we have local teams competing at Roxana, including Carlinville, Litchfield, Mount Olive at that regional tournament, along with Marquette, Altoff, Metro East Lutheran, Carrollton, Pittsfield, Roxana, and East Altonwood River. Hillsboro and Auburn are headed to Argenta Orientia, along with St. Anthony, Monticello, Shelbyville, Toledo, Cumberland, Tolono Unity, and Warrensburg Latham.
That's a tough region.
Oh, that's a slugfest.
Shelbyville, there. Auburn, and Tolono Unity are all just stout
year in and year out.
Yeah, and but you know, Hillsboro's got a chance to send a couple guys, especially Gavin Twitty, a senior, 170 pounder. He's done really well for them this year. Mitchell Law was a regional qualifier last year, so he has a chance too as a junior. So
that's good. By the way, the Gillespie Indians, 7th grade basketball team in the state tournament at Winona Fieldcrest, and they're playing at 1 o'clock this afternoon against Hoopston in the quarterfinals. If they win that game, they play at 6:30 tonight in the semifinals, and of course, the championship is set for Thursday night.
Of course, it'll be Thursday.
Yeah. Yes, that's how it works. Gillespie's 23-2. Hoopston is 24-1. And then sectionals coming up. 8th grade sectionals on Wednesday. Hillsboro takes on Auburn. They'll play that game at Di Vernon. That's a 3A game. In 2A, Nokomis takes on St. Anthony at St. Elmo. And then Mulberry Grove takes on St. Michael's out of Siegel in 1A at the Palestine sectional. So
here comes that 8th grade team again.
I've been to Siegel. I know where that place is.
Palestine's a long
time. You've been to most places. It's a shorter list of where you haven't been. That'll take much less time. There was actually someplace fairly
recently.
That just
recently, means I'm old, that's
there
all.
There was someplace recently where you said, well, I haven't been there.
Well, I've never done a basketball broadcast from Williamsville.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Staggering.
Yeah.
And that, of course, could change.
That host the sectional.
Yeah, that'll change. They will have the sectional that potentially, we'll have the Greenville regional winner there and the Waverly regional winner there, along with...
In separate games. So.
Yeah, separate games. They're in opposite.
Athens is...
I know Camp Point Central's the top seed of one of the regionals that feeds in.
Athens and, regional.
Yeah.
Because I think isn't Camp Point... Is that Rushville? That's hosting the other
I
one?
Don't have... I forgot my brackets.
I know that...
You know, I left half my scores on my desk this morning at 7:30. I was just a complete mess.
Camp Point Central and Pleasant Plains are the top two seeds in the regional that feeds into the bottom half of that section.
The thing about the postseason, and I say this every year, it goes so fast.
It does.
Yeah. It's a 3-week tournament from start to finish if you're lucky enough to get to the state tournament, and it's by you in the blink of an eye. And sometimes, if you're a participant that goes, you know, very deep in the playoffs, you don't really have time to enjoy it sometimes. It just goes by so fast. So enjoy it as much as you can because it's a lot of fun.
Hey, guys, we need to mention something while Kyle is here. Last Saturday at the Hillsboro-Litchfield game, the Toppers actually wore purple bracelets during the warm-up, and they named Kyle's daughter, Grace, an honorary Topper. Kyle, how did that all come about?
Your guess is as good as mine. we're good friends with John and Peggy Cooper, whose daughter, Carrie Ann, is a senior on the basketball team, and she said that they wanted us. They asked if we were going to come to a game, and we usually try to. Grace makes it to a few games. It's kind of past her bedtime by the end of them, but we were planning on going to the Litchfield Hillsboro game, and as soon as Mary and Grace walked in the door, they were ushered to the players' bench, and the team had on the Graceville Journey bracelets and came over and gave her a Topper T-shirt and made her an honorary Lady Hill Topper. And
that's cool.
Yeah, she has a rare genetic disorder called INAD, and if you don't know what that is, you and 60 billion other people, or 6 billion other people are. Only about 1 in 30 people. Or only about 30 people in the country or in the world have it. So we're battling that. We're raising a little bit of money for a research study at Washington University. So if anybody wants a bracelet, they're welcome to stop by the Journal News office in Hillsboro and pick one up.
Now, that night, Mom and Dad, composure-wise, when Grace is named Lady Topper, how did that go for Mom and Dad?
As you know, punctuality is my strong suit. So, as you witnessed this morning with me wandering in at 9:04, I was actually parking the car. Whenever,
hey, that's a good dad right there. Drop Mom and daughter off. That's right. Yeah, cold night.
I dropped them off at the door.
Rainy night.
But as far as composure, I was a wreck. I tried to shoot the first half, and about six times I had to just shut, you know, just put my camera down for a second and pretend to take notes. But it's a special thing. A bunch of teams have stepped up. They signed a ball from the Lincolnwood Alumni Basketball Tournament. For Grace, the junior high volleyball team at Lincolnwood, where two of my cousins play, they're going to do something for her. Hillsboro boys basketball is going to do something for her. She's going to throw out the first pitch at a Lincolnwood softball game, which is pretty amazing.
Which will be here before we know it.
I know. But it's just been really inspiring and really, I mean, the way the community is come together and to help us, it really means a lot.
And the research being done at Washington University, what a great place to have research done, because these guys are like top in the world.
Well, and the fact that we're right there in their backyard, I mean, you know, this guy that's doing it has been working with this gene for a long time, but he's probably never met a kid that has INAD. He's going to be able to do that, you know, with us just an hour away. So.
Yeah, you know, we always joke about it. It's true. Like, we do live, like, in the country in the middle of a cornfield. But we are nice and centrally located, you know, to St. Louis, to Springfield for those types of situations.
There's a lot of families that have been dealing with this that have traveled all over the country, if not the world, to do this. And so far we have been lucky enough to just stay in our own backyard with St. Louis. So.
You talk about the support of the community. I've always said this in the 6 years that I've lived in Montgomery County, there is not a more supporting county than what Montgomery County is. It's just outstanding.
Uncle Ralph used to always say that, and of course we're coming up on a year since he passed. It was regional week when Hillsboro knocked off Litchfield last year. But Kyle, you're seeing that firsthand now. It's amazing the generosity of these people.
It has been. We've raised probably close to $5,000 for the study. And we're getting, there's all the fam or most of the families that are affected by this are raising money for it. So we're slowly but surely getting up there. And it's been really awe-inspiring. You know, I mean, it's just like I said, it just leaves me speechless most days. So, but it's been pretty cool.
Of course, you've been raising money the last couple of years by dressing up vintage style, old school reporter. You got something potentially special in the works for next year, but yeah. you're working it today because you're going to cover wrestling.
Wrestling. I got my got the bow tie going, suspenders, purple bow tie since I'll be going to Roxana.
Smart.
I have an orange and black bow tie too, so I'm careful not to wear those. Whenever the color-coded ones, whenever it's an inter-county matchup.
You have to think about those things because you might not think about when you're getting dressed, but rest assured, when you get there, somebody from the other town will let you know.
Well, and ultimately, I want all the teams to do good because it's so much easier to write about a winning team than it is a losing team. So I'm you know, that's what we talked about with Grace. You know, I mean, she's an honorary Lady Hilltopper, but you know, we've been touched by, you know, the Panthers Against Destructive Decisions group and Jason Cooper. They gave us an awesome bag with a Panther basketball and pom poms while we were at the Litchfield tournament, and Grace just loved that too. So I mean, everybody across the county and outside the county have really really embraced us. And I usually try not to go to I try to coordinate my wardrobe, so to speak. Something I've never ever thought of before.
But we're guys, and we have trouble doing that.
Yeah,
as long as the socks are the same.
I can't guarantee that either.
Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News joining us in our studios this morning. We got the Fighting Illini coming up 10 o'clock today. They will be at Michigan State. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment. We are back on WSMI Sports Saturday. Tobin Ott, Terry Tote, David Jenkins, Tim Eyes, Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News joining us in our studios. And we mentioned Kyle will be heading up to cover wrestling regionals later on today. And Kyle, I wanted to talk a little bit about just kind of what goes on at a wrestling regional from your perspective as a journalist covering the regional. A lot going on, so kind of take us inside, you will, of what your day will be like when you try to cover an event that has team aspects, individual aspects.
Yeah, it's pretty much controlled chaos. Especially with two mats going, you'll see coaches, you know, most of them have two coaches, so they'll have one guy wrestling and you'll have both coaches there. And then next thing you know, especially like in some of like the consolation bracket or the wrestle back bracket, you know, one coach will have to leave and go help another one, but I'll still keep an eye on the other match. It's been a sport that's taken me a little bit of time to pay attention to or to understand completely. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm close. As far as the team aspect, the coaches themselves know a lot better than I do in the stands how close it's going to be. Usually they announce the team standings before the final round, and you can kind of get a good idea, okay, you know, if Litchfield's, you know, this many points down and, you know, from Roxana, you know, they're going to have to win this, and this matches. The more matches you win, the better chance you have, obviously. The interesting thing with wrestling for me is that, you know, even if the team doesn't advance, like last year, Litchfield got second at the regional and sent 10 guys through to the sectional tournament as individuals. You know, 10 out of 14 is pretty.
That's good.
Pretty good.
I'm not good at math, but that's a high percentage.
Yeah. I'm a writer too, not a math magician. But like I said, this year, the thing that impresses me most about wrestling is just the sheer passion of it. I mean, you know, it's like the buzzer beater moments of basketball, but pretty much for 6 minutes. You know, I mean, it's Litchfield's had some really good teams, somebody, I was talking to somebody last night telling them I was going to wrestling, and they say, oh, how many Davidsons are on there this year? and there is one after missing one last year. Colin Davidson's a 106-pound freshman and ranked in the top six in the state, top five in the state, has a really good shot of doing well. But it all depends on who's tough in in your regional. I mean, like some weight classes are going to be tougher than others. There's two other guys that are ranked in the top 10 in his regional, and I think he may have lost to both of them. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that he's going to lose these matches. But, you know, it doesn't give him a walkthrough just to the championship.
No different than any other sport than right. All about the draw.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, like I said, you look at, you know, Hillsboro's. I mean, Hillsboro's not going to do that well as a team just because they're down on numbers right now. But they could send, you know, a few guys to the sectional and possibly even state. You never know. But Litchfield has a legitimate shot of making it out as a team, I would think. Belleville Althoff is the top-ranked team in that regional. They have about seven or eight guys on Illinois Matman's ranked list, maybe even more than that. They're ranked 14th in the state right now. So they'll be a tough contender. And I think their coach used to coach at Hillsboro, even Harris. I don't know his full name, but I believe he was at Hillsboro for a while too. So it's a really neat sport. The passion for it is almost unlike any other that I've seen. But it's definitely, and it's been fun to watch kids grow up through it. I mean, Cole Werner's a senior this year, 4-year wrestler. He made it to state last year. And is ranked third this year in the state. His only two losses are to guys that are ranked above him. really a good kid and a good wrestler, and hoping for good big things for him today.
Yeah, and you mentioned passion. I mean, most of these kids have been wrestling since they were kids. I mean, since they were as small as they could be. A lot of them,
just
yeah, they're
on the toddler stage.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of them have been wrestling all their lives, pretty much.
David, I guess the key is they just never stopped wrestling.
Yeah.
All boys wrestle.
Yeah.
They just never stopped.
Sure.
Yeah, they were a little more structured wrestling.
technique was brought into the game.
Yeah. Well, and you know, they have a really good, you know, Hillsboro's had a good IKWF program with the junior toppers, and Litchfield up now even to the middle school. Garrett Tell is doing a good job. He also helps out with the high school. He's a former wrestler for Porta, I believe. Really helped that program out. There's a sense of continuity. Before him, it was Boyd Ballard and Dan Newkirk were both at the junior high level. And there's a sense of continuity. It's like any other sport. It's like, you know, the cohesiveness that you see in, like, Nokomis basketball with, you know, the program that Daryl Johnson runs, and then to Coach Kimbrough, is it's exact same thing with Litchfield wrestling. You know, they just year in and year out, they have guys that just come up big.
Are Coy and Chance Davidson still assisting the high school wrestling? I know they were last time I checked. I didn't know if they still were.
I think Chance may have resigned. I'm not sure. I think they. I know they were. I know Chance was at the tournament helping out in a different capacity. He wasn't really coaching as much, but he was helping out in a different capacity there. Which that tournament runs. I mean, they had alumni from, you know, over, you know, 10 years to 50 years, I think. And it just runs like a top, but it's really a neat thing to see. And like I said, they do a good job over there. Brian Lee has done an excellent job. He's really helped me out a lot with, learning more about the sport. I can actually score the sport now, which is something that I wouldn't ever have dreamed I'd be able to do. But it's like I said, it's a really good. These kids don't get a whole lot of recognition all the time, and there's a Brian Webster from the SJR said in one of his column on Monday that said that they don't do themselves any favors format-wise sometimes. Like, if there's four teams there, they'll wrestle two matches at the same time, and, you know, they don't announce the kids. You know, they don't do that, you know. And if I think if that would help make it a little bit more fan-friendly sport. So, you know, I know the guys in Hillsboro and Litchfield really want to build it up. Brad Young, who was the former coach of the Toppers, you know, was a big advocate of it too. So, like I said, it's a fun sport. You know, it's fun to shoot. You have to watch out for getting landed on if you're too close to the mat sometimes. I have not yet to do that, but, you know, it's always in the back of my mind.
Yeah, that's a sport where you don't want to become part of the action.
No.
Not especially not in the 285s.
No.
Oh, man.
No.
Yeah.
It's got to be a bit disconcerting to be covering a sport knowing that a high school kid could pin you.
Yeah, I'm really, in all honesty, I mean, I assume that most of these kids can beat me up. So I don't, not that they would, but, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
So. Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News joining us here in studio on WSMI Sports Saturday. The Fighting Illini coming up in 20 minutes here on FM 106 on the road at Michigan State today. Of course, girls regionals begin next week. We hit on the 2A Greenville Regional where we see a lot of the area teams, all South Central, Litchfield, and Hillsborough there. Of course, we'll have coverage of the 2A Waverly Regional as well, Southwestern and Carthenville, the top two seeds there. And that's interesting to me from the standpoint of, will Southwestern have Kelsey Rhodes? If they have Kelsey Rhodes, will they really have Kelsey Rhodes?
Yeah.
That's why they play the game.
That's why they play the games.
Yeah.
Seeing Southwestern against Carlinville, we know historically how that game goes with Kelsey Rhodes. Without her, Carlinville dismantled them in the county championship. So it's very intriguing if it winds up those two teams in that championship game, how one player could truly make that big of a difference.
Well, and one thing you have to think about, first off, the Waverly tournament gets underway on Monday, and we'll have the broadcast of the Auburn-North Mac game, another Auburn-North Mac game. Boy, last night.
Well, if it's as good as last night.
If it's as good as last night, it was a great game. And you know, most people thought Auburn was just going to blow the doors off the gymnasium, and North Mac did not let that happen last night. But Auburn-North Mac, excuse me, on Monday. And then the winner of that game will get top-seeded Southwestern on Tuesday at 6. The second game on Tuesday, this is the intriguing matchup, I think. Carlinville and Waverly. Waverly playing on their home floor. Pretty good team. You know, that's a cooperative effort with Waverly, Franklin, and New Berlin. They've had some decent talent over the years.
Say a team that's had quite a few regional championships over the years.
Yeah, and a team that's used to winning regionals and going to sectionals and playing on their home floor. So that's not a give me. You know, that's not an easy task for the Lady Cavaliers. But we'll have those two games on Tuesday night, followed by the Lincolnwood-Litchfield boys game. And then Wednesday night, we're going to be splitting time between Greenville and Moquegua, the Central A&M regional. We'll start off with the Litchfield girls game at 6. Go to Moquegua for the Nokomis girls game against Ocala Valley, which is a Bethany-Finley consolidation, and then end up with the Lady Hilltoppers at 9 o'clock from the Greenville Regional. And then Thursday night, it's championship night, and we got basketball all over the place. So.
Thursday has endless potential. I mean, there's going to be so many good games with teams in this area. I mean, just if the seedings hold, you know, you're looking at Litchfield and Hillsborough in Greenville. You're looking at Nokomis and Central A&M in Moquegua, and you're looking at Southwestern.
Thing about Nokomis, though, they've lost Josie Foster. Josie's got a hamstring problem. She's done for the year. And, you know, that's a big blow to that team. That team was really starting to click down the stretch, and Josie got hurt. And they did a very nice thing at the Hillsborough-Nokomis game the other night. They let Josie come out on the floor for the jump ball and then blew the horn and you know, got her out there on her senior night in her uniform to make an appearance and then made the substitution. So it was a nice little gesture. So
yeah, it was really a nice moment there for her. And
she's kind of a spark plug kind of person too. I mean, they depended on her to do a lot of different things, stuff that you don't necessarily see in the box scores.
Sure.
And, you know, that Central A&M, I still don't think they've lost.
Mm-hmm. They lost one game. They lost to Sullivan.
They did. In a tournament probably, didn't they?
Well, it was just at the end of the year here.
A
four-point game. They lost to Sullivan, who they had beaten by four a couple weeks earlier in a tournament. Yeah. In their, it might have been their conference tournament even. Yeah, Central A&M, I mean, they have a win over Southwestern. They, you know, they were number two in the rankings.
And they're all sophomores.
Yeah, they're stout.
Yeah.
They're going to be scary good.
Word is they've got one of the best guards around and the coach's daughter.
They do.
So they're they'll be tough. But you know what? You know, they were tough last year. They finished fourth in the state last year, and Nokomis took them, you know, a loss within, you know, or came within just a couple points.
Yeah,
so.
So.
And you're right, Kyle. The girls' regional championship night over the last – if you just want to shrink it down to say just the last 5 years, that has been one of the best nights of basketball all season long, those girls' regional championships.
And you're seeing the crowds – you know, noisy gymnasiums, packed houses, just how it ought to be for a regional championship. Those are such great nights, great memories. And that's why I say it seems to go so quickly over the span of the 3 weeks that the tournament runs.
We think about the Riley Scharf and crew being seniors. Yeah. Maddie Greeling's already a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it goes quick. And that's one of the fun things about this Thursday, or, you know, the Thursday, too, is, I mean, you got different dynamics for the different teams, too. You know, you have a fairly young team with Southwestern. You have, you know, I mean, they have their senior contributors, too, but, you know, you have a lot of their power comes from some of their underclassmen. You know, Carlinville has that core group of seniors with Megan Staten and Talisha Scott.
And Mount Olive's got the core group of sophomores.
Oh, let's not forget Mount Olive, who, you know, won a state tournament a few years ago in the eighth grade level. And then there you have Ashley Snyder at Nokomis, who's been an all-stater, who has, you know, just been the heart and soul of that ball club for four seasons. And what a tremendous...
She's been there forever.
What a tremendous ball player, you know, and contributor, and just a great kid, too.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that, because that's so true. When a kid starts all 4 years and is dominant, it seems like they're there for eight.
Yeah.
It really does.
And she's, you know, been such a key part of that team and stayed pretty healthy, too, which has been big. But, you know, you look at the all-time records now, and she's third all-time in scoring, and the only two ahead of her are Molly McDowell and Vanessa Waterman. So you have two MVC players, you know, two Miss Illinois basketballs ahead, you know, ahead of you. So that's a pretty heady company to be in.
And you know, and she was just so workmanlike, so blue-collar, you know, doing the things that need to be done and basically throwing the team on her back and says, come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a great career for Nokomis.
Pretty good two names to be ahead of you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that whole senior class has had a good – you know, they had, what was it, seven seniors, eight seniors, something like that. You know, and, you know, they've had a really good run, you know. I mean, Alexis McDowell is you know, you – she's had a heck of a game against Hillsboro the other night, and if she hadn't been injured so much of her career, you know, she'd be right there, you know, among some of the top scorers too. So,
and she was a gunslinger.
Yeah,
stand out there on that arc and boom.
I just saw this morning some kid from Ohio just passed LeBron James's
really?
High school scoring mark in Ohio. LeBron wasn't the all-time leading scorer in high school in Ohio. That surprised me.
Really?
Yeah. Some. John Diebler, over like 3,500
John Diebler,
points.
He went to Ohio State.
Ohio State, yeah. He could shoot it. But yeah. Almost 3,500 points in high school.
Wow.
Think about that.
Because he could shoot that three.
30, yeah. Really, really well. That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of shooting.
That's a lot of ice that elbow down.
Wow.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in a moment.
And at 9:50, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
All right, Tobin, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, we're talking about career points before we went to break. The Illinois career point leader for boys is Charles Vaughn from Thames.
Chico.
3,358.
And the year?
Let's see, that would be 1954 to 1958.
There you go.
Sean Knox is on this list from North Green, 18th. Just over 2,500. But the girls' list, you guys were talking about Brittany Johnson. Was that on air or off air? I don't even remember.
I think it was off air.
Off air. You're talking about Brittany Johnson having the record. She does not. She only scored 4,031 points.
Just 4,000.
A mere 4,000.
Yeah.
Tyra Buss just graduated last year from Mount Carmel. 4,897 career points.
Currently playing for the Indiana Hoosiers basketball team.
I see a Candace Parker on that list. Is that the Candace Parker?
Yeah, that's the Candace for Chicago Marshall.
Mm.
I think she was at Marshall.
Naperville.
Naperville.
Oh, it was Naperville? Okay.
Naperville Central.
Okay.
Candace, or the Marshall was,
Pondexter.
Yeah, Cappy
Pondexter. Cappy
Pondexter. That's 1999.
Yeah, that's late 90s.
Circa back-to-back state championships.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyra Buss.
I remember doing
the biggest four scoring season individually, hers, as you would imagine.
Yeah. Well, no, Comus and Marshall, man, at the Euro-10 shootout in, what, 99, I guess. Yeah. Number one from 2A, number one from 1A. So.
She would have had to score 1,000 points in one season, at least. So, I mean, that's...
Who?
Tyra Buss.
Yeah, she's got the three of the four highest scoring seasons ever. 1466, 1285... And 11-21.
That's a really good career for a lot of girls.
Yeah, that's a good career each season. Not a bad career.
Put it this way. Most basketball players don't take that many shots, let alone score that many points.
It's, but, I mean, as you're talking about, to get that many points, you have to step in from day one as a freshman and dominate. Not just play, but dominate.
Yeah.
Well, on the boys' side, like Dylan Miller and Marcus Chaussey are both Dylan's well over 1,000. He's and if he wouldn't have been injured, he would have been probably close to the career all time for the boys at Hillsboro. And Marcus Chaussey is closing in and closed in a lot more with 40 point performance against Bunker Hill the other night. So
I saw that in person last night, and he just couldn't be stopped. I mean, it was funny to me watching the jump ball. I'm from Bunker Hill, so I say this with all due respect. But
and I do mean all due respect.
But Adam Brewer was jumping for Bunker Hill, and he's a good ball player. He's got some hops to get off the floor. He looked like a beanpole standing next to the tree trunk that was Marcus Chaussey. I mean, you just can't root him out. He gets that deep post position, and he's got the soft hands, and he's so well coached. And you know, Kimbrough, if you're not stopping it, he's not going to go away from it. And Bunker Hill, they just didn't have anybody who could match up with him last night.
And that's how Chaussey was in the Morrisonville tournament. I think he missed three shots that tournament. I mean, it's unreal. I mean, he only missed one shot that first game. He shot 17 of 18 and had 38 points. This game that you broadcast that you were at last night, that had, you know, that eclipsed that mark. But, I mean, he's had some just amazing games this year.
I think he had one jump shot last night. It's all basically put back underneath because of his great post position. And it made me think of what Coach Lafka would always say, that he'll give you a dollar for every three-pointer you make. You give him 50 cents for every layup he makes. And he would always say, I'm going home with more money in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they get high percentage looks. And Nokomis rounded into form to no one's surprise.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and he
more and young. Than And two freshmen, two sophomores, and the lone senior Chaussey.
When's the last time in all the decades that Steve Kimbrough's been there that he's had four underclassmen in the starting lineup? I'm sure. I bet it's happened.
Yeah, I can't.
But not a lot of times.
I can't even imagine.
It's happened a few times.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Steve's always going to be one of the people that puts the best five players out on the court. You know, so you know, but I mean, like I said, they'll have a tough road with Altamont in their regional, but. But they always seem to kind of come into position.
As Terry got to see, and I'm sure Kyle, you got to see, he more than held his own against the big Jacob Lawrence from Civic Memorial in the Litchfield Invitational.
Yeah, he's done well against him, and I know he's getting some college looks, and like I said, he'll. I think he before last night he had say they play two games in regionals. He had to average about 16 points a game to get 1,000. With that 40 point game, that'll knock that average down a little bit.
And that's why I give Nokomis as good a chance as anybody to get out of the regionals, just because matchup-wise,
they're a nightmare. That's
a tough guard at 1A, 6'6", and built like a left tackle. Not many teams have somebody who can root him out of the paint.
Well, and then, like Terry said, you know, they got a young crew, but if you throw Reed Detmers and Andrew Herbstreit out on the floor and have six coaches watch them, if all of them guess that those two were sophomores,
right,
I'd be very, very surprised. I mean, those guys don't play like sophomores. They don't. I mean, and even Hendrix Barnes and Braden Sobel, you know, don't play like freshmen anymore.
Earlier, Kyle, you were talking about the great siblings that could make a good duo. Not siblings, but I'll take my chance with Detmers and Chaussey in a two-on-two matchup. I like my odds.
Sure, absolutely.
What about Austin and Marcus Chaussey? And
there you go.
I don't think they're siblings. I think they're cousins. Okay. So,
well, we can expand the format.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the family.
Exactly. You know, we'll have the WSMI Journal News family two-on-two tournament.
We're going to need plenty of medical personnel after it's done.
Yeah. Coming to a park near you this spring.
There you go.
I'm really looking forward
to the tour.
Really looking forward to the Larry Tote, Terry Tote.
Oh, jeez.
Or Gary.
We're too old for that.
That's a lot of legs.
That's and they don't move very well anymore. And not after my little back spasm. I think I'm done with anything like that.
Would the Andrew and Tyler Herbstreit work as well?
Yeah,
there you go.
That would be a good group too.
You know, and Andrew Herbstreit is one of the reasons I think Nokomis has really come on and mm-hmm. settled in to their normal style of play, because he has really stepped up and matured tremendously this season.
Yeah, it should be as it always is, you know, fun regional for them. And then I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that the two teams, Class A teams that I cover are in Stoustross and Hardin. So, and they're 15 minutes away from each other. Lincoln will be going over to River Country.
The problem was, if Butler had a gym, we could play there.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
But, you know, that's not the case.
Well, you'll see that in 4A, though, with Edwardsville, since they're really the only big school down here. A lot of times, they won't travel to the quote-unquote actual site until they get to, I think, to sectional or super sectional play. They've played sectionals before, like if they're playing Collinsville or Belleville down in this part of the state. Now, I wouldn't imagine that Lincoln would, and say, like, I think Lincoln would have Bunker Hill potentially could have to go to Hardin to play.
Yeah, that's silly. That's the plan.
That's silly.
So. But, you know, it is what it
That's
is.
IHSA geography. Yeah. Remember, and Cincinnati and Atlanta were in the Western Division in Major League Baseball at one time, okay? Remember that.
I'm not a huge fish eater, but...
you will be down there,
But I can go down
there. I'm telling you what.
That hospitality room around.
That hospitality room is beyond anything you can imagine.
Yeah, I don't generally talk about that type of stuff on the air, because people don't care what the broadcasters are eating. They really don't. But that place is ridiculous. Homemade lasagnas. I walked in after a game just to get a bottle of water for an hour drive home. I left with pies and cookies. They just gave them to me.
See, I don't need that, though. I really need to start watching my weight. I'm about to go out of the heavyweight division, and you know, I'm not going to be eligible for that.
The super heavyweight.
They're going to have to expand the weight classes if I eat much more, but we'll try to avoid that.
Jiminy City Council meetings, Kyle.
Exactly.
Kyle Hosterman of the Journal News, thank you so much for coming in
our
studios. And again, if people would like to pick up bracelets for Grace, they can
get the bracelets, they can get them at the Hillsboro Journal News office. Just stop in, and if you want to give a donation to the research fund, we'd greatly appreciate it.
By the way, Kyle, great job of what you do, buddy. You do a terrific job.
Absolutely. We'll have wall-to-wall girls regional basketball coverage coming up next week on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Of course, check the website, WSMIRadio.com, for the broadcast details. Sports Saturday is out of time. For Tobin Ott, Terry Tote, David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.